be as far as working with women. And the comment that he had made was that he felt that I would probably be rather limited in, you know, my outreach among women. And as I read that, you know, I thought, well, I don't particularly want to be a girls' worker anyway. But I can remember praying and telling the Lord that I wanted to be available to him to do whatever he wanted me to do. And I think he was right at that time in his evaluation. But as I said before, you know, I'm a firm believer that God goes with availability. And so, you know, if you make yourself available to God, then he will teach you the things that you need to know, and he will help you. He will make up those lacks, perhaps, in your life, and that he will enable you to, you know, build in this area so that you can be effective in helping others. Let's pray before we start this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege of belonging to you. We thank you that we can be co-laborers with you and that we can throw the burden for our responsibilities upon you. And Father, we thank you that you are the one who changes lives and you are the one who can work in marvelous ways in the lives of others. And I pray that as we consider how we can accomplish our training objectives, that you would give us insight and help us see the things that we need to do and how we can better help those who are around us. And Father, we thank you that you are our sufficiency and that you are our wisdom and our help. And I pray that you would direct this time this morning and that you would be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the session this morning is on accomplishing our training objectives. Now, I'd like to give us a definition of train, and here Webster's came in handy. The meaning of train is to direct the growth of, or to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. Another definition, to teach so as to be fitted, qualified, or proficient. I like that definition. You know, that we help someone else so that they become fitted, qualified, or proficient. And another definition would be to make prepared for a test of skill. Now, our goals in training, you know, we need to have the attitude that the girls who have gone through a training apartment or who have lived in a training apartment, when they move out, that they have not arrived. In fact, to me, that is just the beginning, because then you're really on your own. And you know, what I feel like what I want to happen with the girls who live with me is that they will know how to live for God's glory, that I will have communicated certain things to them that will help them to live for the Lord in everyday life and in the ministry that God leads them into. You know, we want young women who know how to live the balanced Christian life because they will attract others to this lifestyle. And I think one of the difficulties that we have had in the past, I feel like we're really correcting it in the Midwest region, is that some of the girls who were involved in helping others live such a hectic life that some of the girls told them that if that's, you know, the type of life I have to live to follow Jesus, then I don't want anything to do with it. And to me, our lives should be very attractive. And to have an attractive life, we need to have balance. And we want young women who know how to respond to the daily demands of life. Now, there will be demands placed upon us in life. And I remember one thing Joyce Turner shared with me a long time ago. She said, Jody, where there are people, there will be problems. And see, sometimes I think we'd like to get out from under those problems. But we need to realize that wherever you have people, there will be problems. The thing we don't want to become is problem-centered. You know, we don't want to give ourselves to people who are problem-centered. And when I think of someone who is problem-centered, it's someone that you try to help in a particular area, but they will never do anything about it. They never make application. So you're always dealing with the same basic problems. It's as though they cannot trust God in particular areas. And see, all of us have problems. I have problems, you have problems. That's normal. But just so we don't become problem-centered. And we want women to be young women who have their roots down deep in Jesus and that they find their security in Him. This is so important that day by day our walk with the Lord is strong, so that we are secure in Him, so that whatever God brings into our life, we're not shaken by it. And sometimes there can be some pretty tough things that come along. And yet to realize, to focus on the Lord and to find our security in Him. And then there are to be young women who know how to draw upon the grace and power of God for life and ministry. That they will not be dependent upon you, but that they will be dependent upon God and draw upon His grace and His power. Now, one of our training objectives is to develop Christ-like character. Now, how do we build character in the lives of girls and teach them to build character in others? And I'm going to share with you 4 steps in character building. And step 1 is to create an environment which displays the virtue. Girls must be able to see this quality in other people around. And this is why it's so important that you have a good atmosphere in your apartment. If you have some people who are not open to learn, it's going to affect everyone else in your apartment. And there needs to be this environment of openness and learning from one another. And you cannot have double standards and expect one thing of one person and another of another. And then step 2, you have to personify the virtue. In other words, you have to be an example. And this is where the pace setting comes in. And I know sometimes we look at some of the verses that the Apostle Paul has quoted where he says, well, you've seen the things that I do, copy my life. And somehow we're always hesitant about asking people around us, you know, to copy our lives. And yet often I feel, well, perhaps this is what we should say. We should live in such a way that we can say to people around us, copy my life. And it's a tremendous responsibility. But see, God gives us the power to live in a way that people, you know, will want to copy our lives. And in Titus 2:7, Paul says here, set in your own person an all-around example of doing what is good. And then 2 Timothy 3:10, but you know from watching me that I am not that kind of person. You know what I believe and the way I live and what I want. You know my faith in Christ and how I have suffered. You know my love for you and my patience. And then Philippians 3:17. Dear brothers, pattern your lives after mine and notice who else lives up to my example. In other words, don't just focus on one person, but look around and see if you can see others who are patterning their lives in the same way. And then Philippians 4:9. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. So it's very important that we set the pace for what, and that we not expect the girls or pass on to them something that we are not demonstrating in our lives. And I'm not saying that we always have lived this perfect life, that we don't fail. The exciting thing about being a Christian is that when we do fail, we can confess and we're back in fellowship again. But basically, you know, our lives are backing up what we're trying to teach others. And then the third step is to teach and train. And we have to point out in everyday language what you're trying to teach. Now, sometimes I have tried to train by hinting, and I have found out that girls are dense at times, and you cannot get them to pick up by dropping hints. You have got to come out and be very direct in what you're trying to teach. And see, we have the example how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And then he asked them if they knew what he had done. And see, it's important to ask questions of people and to find out if they understand what you have tried to communicate to them. So many times I feel when we're working with people that we will ask questions, and if we don't get the right answer, then we explain it. And many times when I am sharing with people, I will ask the same question 4 or 5 times until I get the answer I want to hear. But see, we get a little embarrassed if they don't give us the answer that we want right away. But see, if they cannot give you the answer, then you know one thing, they don't know the answer. And that's why you need to hang in there and keep explaining until when you ask a question, you can get them to repeat it back to you. Now, the pattern I use for teaching and training character traits, actually, the way I prepared this workshop was to sit down and think, now, what do I do with people? And so I just started listing things down. Now, I'm not saying I do it the same way every time, but these are basic things that I feel can help us. The pattern I use for teaching and training character traits. First of all, you need to pray for discernment to know what character trait or area is the most needed at the present time or the one the Lord wants you to work on in this particular girl's life at this time. See, I think sometimes we may have our own little pattern of things that we want to see in her life, but I believe we need to cooperate with what God wants to do at that time. And pray and ask God to give you the wisdom and the insight. And I don't know what I'd do without him. I mean, if he took his hand off my life, I would fall flat. Because, you know, we have to keep in touch with him to know how to help people. And it's really exciting when sometimes, you know, maybe you see something in a girl's life and you're not sure what it is or what area it is that you really need to help her in. And then as you pray, it's just like God all of a sudden gives you an idea. And then he kind of confirms this as you observe her life. And then when you do move in, I mean, it's just obvious that God has prepared her life. And then you can move in that particular area. And secondly, decide how you can most effectively teach this characteristic at this time. Now, I mentioned earlier, too, I think, how the men very often give the men Bible studies. And I think we need to be careful that we don't give the girls that we're helping too many assignments. Because I'm not sure we really necessarily respond to a whole lot of assignments. Now, there are times when they do need to do a Bible study. But let's, you know, be careful of their schedule so that we don't overload them. And then look up scriptures related to this subject. There are many scriptures. You know, I don't care what the area of a need is in a particular girl, you will be able to find scriptures that can help her in that area. And then clarify how you can help her to see this need in her life. You know, think through in your mind before you get together with her now, how can I explain this thing to her so that she will really accept it? And then, if at all possible, give an example of when you notice this area of need. And so many times I've talked to girls about things, and it's just as though they have no idea that this is an area of need. So many times I pray and I say, now, Lord, help me to see this girl, you know, do something or in one of her relationships so that when I go to her, I can say, well, do you remember such and such a time? And I'll tell you, it is very effective. Because then they do remember. And then they will be, you know, more open to the application. And then emphasize the transforming power that indwells us. See, I think sometimes we may tend to point out another person's needs. And then it's kind of like we leave them feeling helpless or hopeless. Like there's no possibility for change. And one of the reasons I love my work is the fact that God is in the business of transforming lives. First of all, he's changing me. And he is changing others around. And we have a tremendous hope. We don't have to live the way that we are because God wants to change us and conform us to the image of Christ. And then help her make an application in this area. Oh, let's see. I had some notes here that I'd like to share with you on emphasizing the transforming power that indwells us. And we need to say, too, that it's not her trying to change. I think sometimes, you know, we may see the girls around us really trying in themselves to change, and it'll never work. And Eugenia Price, in one of her books, made the statement that character defects only indicate that the wrong person is at the controls in that particular area. And I like that. You know, when someone has a character defect, it means that that self is on the throne in that area. And what we need to help them see is that they need to put Jesus Christ on the throne in that area of her life. And see, 2 Peter 1:3 in the Berkeley, it says, "For his divine power has bestowed on us every requisite for life and godliness through knowing him who called us to his own glory and excellence." And see, if someone's character doesn't really back up the Christian life or the committed life, then perhaps we need to see, are they spending adequate time in the scripture? Because this verse tells us that, you know, we that receive this divine power for life and godliness through knowing Christ. And so if we know him, then we should be changing. And then verse 4, "Through these there have been granted us great and precious promised blessings, so that by means of them you might become sharers of the divine nature." See, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. And I don't know if you, I'm sure you've heard this illustration, but I heard it about a missionary who was in Africa, in Alaska. And this Alaskan had received Christ. And a little bit later he went back and was following up on this new Christian. And so he asked this man how he was doing. And he said, "Well, I feel like I have two dogs on the inside of me fighting all the time." So then the missionary asked, "Well, which one wins out?" And his answer was, "The one I feed the most." And see, if you feed the old nature, if you go to wrong movies, if you do not control your thought life, then, you know, you're feeding that old nature. But if you feed that new nature, the divine nature, then you will be enabled to live a Christ-like life. And then the next step was E, was to help her make an application in this area and see that she memorizes and meditates on Scripture, on the scriptures regarding this particular subject. Yes? Yeah, see, I think we have to be careful that it's not something that irritates us, and it may be, she may be different than we are. And that's where I think we really do need to be able to point out scriptures on that particular thing. And maybe we can talk about that a little bit more at the end. I'd like to go on and cover the information and we can come back. And then the next step is to stand with her in prayer and continually encourage when you notice progress. I think, I'm not sure I always do this. You know, when I notice a little bit of progress, I think I'm really slow to move in and to encourage her. And this is something I want to work on. And then step 4 is pray this into her life. And it's interesting, all during the, so many different, as different ones shared during the conference, it seems like the importance of prayer is being brought out. And that we do have to have a prayer ministry. Then there are certain things to remember. First of all, keep in mind a girl's potential. Ask the Lord to give you kind of a vision of what this girl's potential could be if she would really trust him. And of course, look at the promises of God and claim certain promises for her. And see, the promise in Scripture is that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And then 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "Simply consider your own call, brother. Not many of you were wise, humanly speaking. Not many mighty, not many noble." And see, so many times we get caught up and we start operating from the world's perspective that looks at the very intelligent, you know, and maybe the very sharp. And I'm not saying, I personally feel that as we are looking or recruiting girls, we need to ask God to give us those who will be able to communicate a vision. Now, I've had some girls around me who seem to pick up those who are problem-oriented, and it just seems like maybe who are not able to communicate this vision. And see, it seems like some girls really do have the gift of mercy. And this type of person will tend to pick up girls with problems. And we need to be careful. We don't want to be hard and say, well, God doesn't need that or can't, you know, help them, because he can. But I feel like we don't have that much time to give, and most of us are not professional counselors. So we need to invest in those who do have. And in fact, I keep telling everyone, what I'm looking for is an all-American girl. You know, someone who is intelligent enough and can pass on this vision to someone else. In verse 28 also, it says, God also has chosen the world's insignificant and despised people and nobodies in order to bring to nothing those who amount to something. And verse 29, so that nobody may boast in the presence of God. In Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, these are verses that Joyce shared this morning. You know, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the rich man in his riches, or the mighty man in his strength. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows God. That's the only thing that we can glory in. And then 1 Timothy 1:12, I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who strengthened me. For he considered me to be faithful and appointed me for service. And 1 Corinthians 15:10, by divine grace, however, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. In fact, I have worked harder than any of them. That is, not really I, but the grace of God that is with me. And see, if we can help the girls to see that I don't think God has favorites. And you've heard me say, probably many of you, that he does have intimates. And of course, we decide whether or not we will be an intimate. But I feel, too, that I think we may feel that, well, God gives more grace to one person than he does to another. I don't know. I'm not so sure if he doesn't have favorites. But, you know, I think a lot of it depends upon what we do with or how we respond to the grace that God does give us. And see, Paul is saying here that, you know, he took advantage. He used this grace that God had given him. And then what we want to do is to pray for discernment and creativity in training. And we need to use variety. I remember one of our girls one time would go to someone and ask for help. And every time she went to this person, the only help she got was to be sent back to do a Bible study. They'd never sit down and talk about the situation. And finally she told me, she said, Jody, I'm not going back anymore. I'm tired of being, you know, all these assignments, all these Bible study assignments. And so we need to be careful that we are being creative in our training. And, you know, ask the Lord here, again, to give you wisdom to know her greatest areas of need or the ones that he wants you to help her with. And then keep praying faithfully for the girl. And, you know, sometimes I've found that as I have prayed about a particular need. And sometimes there are some areas that are pretty sensitive that, I mean, I don't always like to move into. And it's been exciting as I have prayed that that girl has come to me and has maybe just made one little statement about that area. And I've been able to move in. And then she has really opened up. And that's what we need to look for. You know, those opportunities when she comes, it's kind of like she's not really sure this is an area of need, but she throws out kind of like bait. And what you need to do is grab that bait and move in. And then keep open to his timing. And see, here again, it's not always this personal time that we have planned with the girl. I think we need to take advantage of other opportunities too, if the time is really ripe to move in on some of these areas. And then another thing to remember is to be honest and direct with the girl. I had a girl move to Minneapolis one time from another area, and she had so many needs. And as I talked to her, I found out that she had asked a girl in her area for help, or if there was anything in her life that she felt needed to be changed. And this girl implied, I mean, I can't believe that she did this, but this girl implied that there was nothing that she could think of. And from the moment she walked in the door, all I could think of was, oh, help, where do I start? And it was just, and she really appreciated it. I had to really move in fast on some of the areas because I felt like she's being, you know, she is a testimony to Christ as she goes out and gets a job in the working area. And we need to be honest with the girls because they will love us and appreciate us for that honesty. And here again, don't hint at the problem, but be direct and don't beat around the bush. In Proverbs 9:8, a verse I've quoted before, reprove a wise man and he will love you. And then have an example to show her. For instance, maybe in serving. One thing I have noticed, sometimes we have quite a few of the NAV staff missionaries coming through. And see, everyone wants to be in the living room, like we invite them for dinner. Well, everyone wants to be in the living room talking, you know, to them. And so some of the girls sometimes, and we have a system in our home that we have a cook and an assistant who prepare the meal. And then the other girls are responsible afterwards for clearing up. But it's interesting, you know, sometimes after the meal, the girls who haven't done anything are still sitting there, you know, in the living room because they're really engrossed in the conversation. Well, we have to teach girls, you know, that there are times that they do need to serve, even though they would rather be somewhere else, and to lift their load and to assume their responsibility. And if you can have an example to show her, that will really help. And then use a positive approach. Don't say to her, you're not a servant, because that really drives people into despair. Or you're not teachable. And then look up passages of scripture on this need with her and talk about it. And then the last point I have here on things to remember is to stick with her until she's reached the biblical standards for this area. And I think this is where many fail. You know, we see her make a little progress and then we may, you know, lay off a little bit. But stick with her until you see her come up to the biblical standards. I had a girl in my home one time, and she had not had really much help in her own home, and so there were tremendous needs in her life. And one of the staff men said to me one time, he said, well, I think that, you know, probably she's come as far as she can, or, you know, will come. And so I thought, well, you know, I didn't agree with him on that. So I went to her, and I asked her. I didn't bring his name into it all. I just asked her, now, do you want me to lower these standards for your sake because, you know, of your background and different things? Or do you want me to keep these standards really high for you? And she said, oh, Jody, please keep them high. I need that. And see, sometimes, you know, we may tend to lower them for certain people, but keep those standards high. And see, building character is not having an identical plan for each girl. And that's one thing that makes our ministry or our work really fun and exciting, I think, is that you don't have to go through the same thing. I mean, if I had to go through the same thing every year, you know, the same week, I mean, I'd give up. I would have given up long ago. But, you know, it's being sensitive to each girl and asking the Lord for insight into those areas of need. And I think it's having convictions, too, that certain things are important. Sometimes I've been around some of the younger girls, and it's almost like they don't really have convictions on certain things. And you need to know what you believe on certain areas, and so that you can help some of the younger girls in those areas. For instance, I think that a good trainer of women has strong convictions from God's Word on how He wants us to live. For instance, in the area of lying, you know, that no lying. You know, in the world today, there's some gray lies or some little white lies. In fact, I read in Time magazine where the average person today tells 200 lies a day. And I just thought, help! Who do you trust if that? And see, because of that, we need to really work on this area and make sure that the girls speak the truth. And you know, it's a subtle thing that can get in because we can color things a little bit. And to realize, you know, that is lying. And in the area of our conduct, in the area of purity. I was, a few weeks ago, I was at the Kansas-Missouri conference, and I had an afternoon session with the girls. And I think so many times when we share with girls, we may kind of hint at what some of the standards are. But this afternoon, I really felt led to give them some very direct guidelines for dating. Well, as you can imagine, there were several girls who came up afterwards. And I felt, I had many tell me, Jody, thanks for giving us some guidelines. And they shared, we've heard people speak, you know, on these different things, but they've always left it kind of up to us. And, you know, we really don't know what we should do. Well, see, some of us have worked with girls, and we've talked to wives and to girls and have had our own experiences, so we know, you know, what the guidelines should be, and we need to help some of these girls. And in the areas, you know, there are many other areas, deceitfulness and everything, we need to know, have our convictions in these areas. See, one of the most difficult things to do is to sit down, I think, and communicate heart-to-heart in our man-to-man times. And to me, this is the hardest session because, you know, we can have all these wonderful objectives, things that we want to see in girls' lives. And the important thing is, how do we get them into these girls' lives? And there's something about that man-to-man time that very often other things will crowd it out. And one of the reasons, I believe, is that we're in a battle. The enemy knows how important that time is. And so he will try to bring things in to, you know, block out that time so that you don't get together with someone on a man-to-man basis or man-to-man. And I think, especially with women, well, the first main thing that keeps us, I think, from spending personal time is busyness. We're all busy with things. But, and you know, one of the things I've tried to do is to make girls responsible for their time. In other words, I have said to them, okay, I want you to come to me. Because it's a rare occasion when if a girl comes to me and asks me for time, that we don't set a time right then. And so put the responsibility on them. And I think another way that the enemy opposes us is through our mental frame of mind. Because sometimes just thinking about getting together, you know, we may feel tired or we may not feel like doing it. And of course, another way he opposes us is through our feelings of inadequacy. Sometimes like, well, you know, what should I share? Do I have anything to share with this person? But to realize that the enemy is opposing us in this personal time. And it is very important. And, you know, as we are obedient to God and we go ahead and we get together with that person, then very often afterwards, I don't know what your response is, but I'm really excited about the time that I've had with the girls. And I've just sensed that our hearts are really pulling together. And so don't let the enemy keep you from that personal time. And in order to reach our objectives that we have for the girls, we do need to have a plan and know what we want to see in another girl's life. Now, I've always kind of fought the notebooks because I've had girls come into my apartment who have all these marvelous plans and they never use them. But we do need to have plans so that we can help younger girls who don't have any plans. And we need to caution them not to use that notebook, but to use these things as guidelines. But we do need to have directives and to know where we're going with someone. And see, the one thing I don't want anyone living with me to do is to pass on a notebook. Now, what we could do, you know, in the girls' work, we could organize this nice little notebook. And then we could pass it on to someone and say, okay, here it is, go to it. You know, and you pass on the notebook. That's not what we want to do. I want to pass on my life. And one of the girls who lived with me moved to another region, and she lived in a home. And the wife, every week, would sit down with her, open up her notebook, and share a principle with her from her notebook. And so this girl, when she came back to me, she said, Jody, thanks for sharing your life and not your notebook. And see, that's what people respond to, is our life, not our notebook. Now, this doesn't mean we can't have a notebook, and we do need it. I'm changing in that. But we do need to use it carefully. And so that we're not, that people don't feel like we're being programmed and we're, you know, part of this notebook. Now, I have an example of a plan that you can use in order to prepare for your personal times with people. And I'll show it to you now. And you'll notice I have a possible plan to use. For instance, one of our training objectives is to deepen her walk with God or her spiritual life. So if our training objective is to encourage and deepen her spiritual growth, then our specific goal would be a greater hunger for God and responsiveness to Him. And perhaps we have seen that her particular need is more time alone with God. Then what you do is you look up verses that I could share with her. And Psalm 27:8 is a verse that Joy shared yesterday, that the idea that when the Lord says, "Seek ye my face," my heart responds and says, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." And Psalm 42 speaks about our hearts thirsting and longing for God. And then Psalm 73:25-28, these are verses that Joyce referred to today too. You know, that the Lord is the center of our thoughts. And Philippians 3:7-14, where the Apostle Paul said that, "I count everything else as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." And so you look up some of these verses that could perhaps stimulate her hunger for God. Then another part of your time together could be perhaps to ask questions, probing into her spiritual life. Now, whatever you do, don't ask yes or no questions. Now, I'm not a good question asker, and my roommates help me with these. But ask questions where she will have to give an answer, and it won't be just yes or no. In other words, what stimulates you to seek God? In the past few weeks, what times in particular have you felt especially close to God? Or how has your responsiveness to the Lord deepened over the past few months? And you can think of, you're a lot more original than I am, I'm sure, so you can come up with your own questions. And then perhaps you need to talk about some of the hindrances. Maybe you've noticed that there is something that is hindering her. Maybe she's watching too much TV, or she's spending too much time with people. I think that's probably one of the more common ones, is that, see, it's much easier to spend time with people than it is to face yourself before God. And we need to be careful that the girls around us are not spending too much time with people. And another hindrance could be that she's undisciplined in the use of her time, so that she just doesn't have any time left over. Okay, then you can think through on different applications to make. Meditating on certain verses and praying them for herself. And then her attitude in approaching God, maybe that's, you know, there's something wrong there. Or maybe it's her concept of God. You know, maybe she needs to make an application in that area. And then setting aside a couple of extra hours each week to spend with the Lord. Or maybe lengthening. What happened here? Ah! What? Anybody have any idea? Is it? What? Oh, help. Wouldn't that be lovely? It's burned up. So the Lord always brings people around who have these marvelous gifts. Well, I'll go ahead and read the transparency in the meantime so we get another one. Then the next thing I have here is tapes to listen to. And I just put down one that I had myself, deepening our relationship with him, and there are lots of tapes that you could use on this. And then I put books to read. Maybe you would ask her to read a book, or like J.I. Packer's book on knowing God. Maybe there's a particular chapter in there that you would like to encourage her to read. And like A.W. Tozer's Pursuit of God. And then you need to check up on the application. You can ask a specific question to see if she is following through on her application. Or maybe you could, and probably you will notice a difference in her attitude toward her times with God. See, when people begin to make applications, it's not obvious just to themselves, but it can be known to us as well. Now, June, we're going to have to center that, I think. Let me see here. Here it is. Whoop! It's bigger or something. Does it magnify it? Yeah. Yep. What's the deal? Let's cock eye. I'll let you figure that out. See, one thing we do need to do is to plan for our two times with people. And write down areas that you want to cover with her See, one of the things you need to do in a notebook would be to write down the different areas that you would like to cover with her. And then after you spent time with her too, jot down in a notebook what you went over with her. And if you gave her an assignment or if she made an application so that you can check up on this later. And do it right away. So many times I don't do it right away and then I have difficulty remembering. And this way we will know exactly what we've covered in our ma'am-to-ma'am times. Now, you know, the method that you use in helping people is not important as long as you accomplish your objectives. See, the important thing is that you accomplish your objectives. And to me, it would be a very dull and boring thing if we all did the same thing each time. So we do need to be creative. And see, each one of us does have a method, even if it's a shoot-from-the-hip pocket method, which I think we've done a lot in the past in the NAVs. But one of the things we're trying to improve on is having some guidelines. And see, if the method that you're using is not accomplishing your objective, then you need to change the method. And it is good to have some information on each topic so that you don't have to spend a lot of time before, you know, you get together with someone. So if you may want to have file folders on different topics, or you may want to have a notebook and set up some different pages like this, but vary them. You know, do different things and be creative. I remember when I was here on the Glen, one of the NAV staff men telling me that he never spends more than 1 hour with a person in his man-to-man times because he said, I want that person leaving me wanting more rather than thinking afterwards, well, it took a lot of time. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't ever go over an hour because there are exceptions. But I thought that was very interesting that he wanted to leave people wishing that they could have had more time than they had. Now, I also have another transparency on different things that you can use when you set up. Let's see, I think here. I just titled this Suggestions for Making Up Your Own Plans for. Whoops, what's happening? Boy, you really do have to bring that down, don't you? Suggestions for Making Up Your Own Plans for Personal Time. First of all, your training objective. You know, what do you want to see? The specific goal, particular need would be changes that you want to see in her life. And then passages to use or the Bible study that you want her to do. I personally feel with girls that if I can have several key verses on a topic, that it's almost more effective than having a lot of verses or going over a study and really talking about those verses and getting her to memorize those and to meditate on them. And then personal experiences to share. Maybe you've gone through that. Many of us have gone through some of these same things, that same areas that we're helping people in. And then I have probing questions to ask, possible hindrances. Some of these were on the other one. Practical tools, tapes, books, or people. You know, sometimes there is another person in your area who has maybe gone through that or is very strong in that particular area, stronger than you are. So maybe what you need to do is to send that person to them. And see, I feel, when we were in Minneapolis, I feel one of the things we did was to use one another. Like the girls in our apartment would go maybe and spend time with someone else. And I think we need to do that, that we not feel that I'm the only one who can make a contribution. But if someone else can make a greater contribution in a particular area, send that person off to them because it will really benefit those girls. And then the area of personal application, any other suggestions that you can think of, personal checkup, and then perhaps some evidences that she's following through on her application. Now, I think sometimes when we get together with someone on these ma'am-to-ma'am times, that at first, our time can seem a little stifled. It's kind of like, well, here we are, we sit down, we're not together now, so what do we do? And I think what we need to do is just to learn to share naturally with someone for a while before, rather than as soon as we sit down, then right away you jump into your plan. But try to keep it as natural as possible. And of course, what you really want to do is to get to know her personally. And of course, if you're living with her, you probably do. But if you're not, and see, a lot of these things, I'm talking basically of apartment training, but a lot of these principles can be applied outside of your apartment in training others also. But try to get to know her personally. And here again, you know, for her, in order for her to open up to you, then you open up to her. And see, sometimes we feel that, well, she's the one who has to open up to us because, you know, I'm her teacher. Well, we don't want it on that level. You know, we want it that we're both here learning together. And many times I've found as I've shared something with someone else, a need, it's just like the Spirit of God has used it in my life too and has given me, you know, shown me areas that I need to work on too. And it's a sharing together. And we need to make ourselves vulnerable to people too. I know one of the reasons that people will not open up is that we're afraid that people may hurt us. And you can be sure if you do open up to people, they will hurt you. But see, we have to kind of die to self and ask the Lord to help us toughen up our skin so we're not super sensitive. I know one of the staff girls in an area said that I made the comment one time that she really didn't like to share things because she felt that sometimes once you shared it, then other people found out about it. And my comment to her was, oh, what difference does it make? I mean, if people have any insight at all, they know what we're like. They see us. Why should we try to hide it? And I think sometimes, you know, we may try to protect ourselves. And just here again, you know, we have to really trust God in regard to some of these things. But make yourself vulnerable and do fun things with her as well. This is one of the best ways, I think, to get to know someone is to do something fun with them. Now, the last thing I'd like to cover would be some specific areas of need for women. I guess I don't have a transparency for this, so I'll just, you don't need that anymore, do you? And first of all, on my list is the area of marriage. You know, we really do need to help girls find their satisfaction in the Lord and to get their focus on Him. And if this area is not committed to the Lord and laid on the altar, it will eat away at her and obsess her. And her thought life, you know, will be focused upon that. And we need to communicate that marriage is not the answer to our frustrations, but Jesus Christ is. Now, we all know that there are tremendous joys in human relationships. And I'm sure that there are tremendous joys in the marriage relationship. But there's only one person who can satisfy that deep down need in your heart, and that person is Christ. And I like what Paul Tournier says in one of his books. I can't remember which one it was. But he made the comment that in any walk of life, there are privileges and servitudes. And see, he brought out that a wife has certain privileges, but she also has certain servitudes. A single woman has certain privileges and certain servitudes. And see, the difficulty is that very often we look only at the privileges of the wife without seeing any of the servitudes. And I think wives can tend to look at us as single women and see only our privileges. You know, thinking how wonderful it is, you know, to not to be tied down and some of the other privileges. Now, the one thing we want to help them to do is not to repress those desires, but to have a healthy attitude toward marriage. And I read in a magazine one time, too, where this one psychologist brought out that sexual desires can be channeled into other areas of helping people. And that's exciting to know. You know, so I think the world says, you know, well, if you're not married and if you're not, you know, going to bed with men, then you're not satisfied. You know, you just have all these pent-up sexual emotions. Well, that's not true. We, you know, God can use these desires in a positive way. And then another area of need for women is in the area of will. I have never lived with a girl who did not have a very strong will. Now, the men think that quiet girls don't have strong wills. It's been my discovery that some of the quiet girls can have very strong wills. See, we all have that stubbornness, that strong will within us, that we want our way. And, you know, what we need to do is to help these girls surrender that will, that bend that I into a C for Christ, and to be sure that our wills are surrendered to Him. You know, Bill Gothard, in his one of the seminars that I went to, he brought out that a man battles his conscience and a woman battles her strong will. And see, what we will try to do is to get people, to bend people to our way of thinking, bend people to us. And I remember Dawson sharing with some of the girls, and he said, "Oh, you girls, bless your heart. What you try to do with a man is to wind him around your little finger, and then when you get him there, you don't want him." And see, that's what we'll try to do very often with men. And who are the men that we respond to the most? The ones that we can wind around our little finger? No way. You know, the ones we respond to are the ones who stand up and tell us to shut up. But see, what we will do is we'll try to force people, you know, to bend to our will. And see, when the will is surrendered, the spirit of that person is different. There will be a fragrance about our lives. There's somehow that feistiness can be gone, I think. You know, and there's a different spirit when that will is surrendered. And see, this doesn't mean that you don't have any convictions of your own. I mean, anyone who's been around me, I mean, you can have strong convictions, but it doesn't mean that you force them on others. You know, and there's a confidence in the sovereignty of God. And I think this is what it's talking about in 1 Peter 3, where it speaks about a meek and quiet spirit. That will has really been surrendered. And then another area is in the area of submission. And I think women today need to know what is meant by the word submission. And I think in Christendom and among the navigators that submission has meant that, you know, every woman submits to every man. Well, there are a lot more verses in the New Testament on everyone submitting to one another than there are, you know, in women submitting to men. Actually, the one where it says that the woman is to submit to the man refers to the marriage relationship. But we are all to submit to one another. And, you know, we need to give the men input, you know, that we have that they don't get regarding the girls' work, and to be really honest with them, to help them to make wise decisions in their work. And this doesn't mean being a doormat and having people walk all over you. But it does mean following the example of Jesus, who was willing to submit to others. And one checkpoint is that we can think through, you know, say this past week, how have I submitted to others and given in? Or at the end of the day, you can think about it. You know, how did I submit and give in to my roommates today? And I think I referred to this yesterday, too, on submission, that it's being able to express your feelings and convictions, but then abiding by your leader's decision. And that's where the rub comes, or a husband's decision. You know, and I've talked some, a couple of my former roommates have married, you know, and they've gone through that a little bit. You know, they're not sure that more than a couple have married. June is sitting here saying that, but recently I was thinking of, and who have been around me, and they have just shared, sometimes, you know, it's hard. They give, you know, they share certain things with their husband, and then, you know, it's hard for them to really abide with that decision, and that's where we need to believe in the sovereignty of God. And to me, true submission is from the heart. We have, sometimes in the navigators, a lot of yes girls who say yes on the inside, and on the inside they're going no. And that, to me, is not true submission. And you probably all heard the illustration of the little boy who had done something wrong, and his mother told him he had to sit in the corner. And he said that, you know, he didn't want to sit in the corner. He wanted to stand in the corner. And so she, you know, insisted that he sit in the corner. And he turned to his mom and said, "Well, in my heart, I'm still standing up." And see, that's us lots of times. You know, we may outwardly be doing something, but in our hearts, we're still standing up. Then another area I think a specific need is in the area of selfishness. Every person is very self-centered. And we need to fight this. And see, if we have presented our, if we've really presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, see, a sacrifice that crawls on the altar isn't going anywhere. It's not looking out for its own rights. It's not trying to protect itself. Actually, it's given itself, really, to the responsibility of someone else. And it's up to that other person. It's up to God to look out for that person. And I think ways to fight selfishness is to really live for others. To ask God to help you to live for other people. And to esteem them as being better than yourself. And one of the fears I've had about my job as I travel around and share with some of these younger girls is I get a lot of attention. And it would be easy for the enemy to get in and think, oh, Jody, how great you are. But one of the things I do quite often before I share in a meeting is I stand up or as I'm seated there, I just think, now, Lord, every one of these young girls is better than I am. And I think about that. And every one of these girls could make a contribution to my life. And see, if we have that attitude, then we're not going to think that we're better than other people. And another way to fight selfishness is to put others first. Give them the choicest whatever. The biggest piece of meat. The best seat. Whatever it might be. And one of the things I've tried to practice, you know, is that I will take, like in a car when you ride, there are certain, you know, seats that are, it's easier riding. Well, I've asked the Lord to help me not to take the best. But to be willing, you know, to take the least. And see, what we have to do is practice it. It's not just thinking about these things, but it's living them day by day in a very practical way. And then another one, area, the last area, I guess, oh no, next to the last area, is serving. See, there are two kinds of serving that we can do. One that is out in the open where everyone sees. Now, if we have a rally and you serve refreshments, everyone sees, you know, what a beautiful job you do. But there are some types of serving that we do that only God knows. And the question I have is, will you do that type of serving, knowing that no one will ever know that you've done it? When I worked in the correspondence office here while I was here on the Glen, you know, it was interesting. We couldn't get people, the girls, to really keep the ladies' room clean, you know, as far as wiping out the sink or the mirror. But boy, you know, you could get people to wash the windows there where everybody would see. You know, those windows sparkled. But you go into the ladies' room and it was a mess. Why? Nobody ever saw anybody else do it in there. And see, what type of servants are we? You know, the type that want to do something to be recognized, or are we willing to do it when only God knows? And see, that's what counts, is when God knows it. Not when other people know it. And see, Jesus said that those who want to be great should be the greatest servants. If you want to be a leader, if you want to be a big leader, then the requisite is to be the greatest servant. And Matthew, that's from Matthew 20:26. And verse 27 says, whoever would be first will be your slave. Okay, then the last area I have is area of need for women is the right to a normal life. See, most American girls' dream, that Nancy Sheffield shared in her testimony last week, that her idea, you know, was to settle, get married and settle down in a little home with a little white picket fence around it. Well, of course, God has changed all that, you know, and kind of the idea of living happily ever after. Well, see, God may have different plans for us if we make ourselves available to Him. And as I've counseled young women, very often that's a big thing to consider. Are they willing to live a different life that may send them, you know, to the uttermost parts of the earth? Or where it may mean that they'll be single. But see, we have to help them to see that the most important, that God is not going to rob anyone. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. In Psalm 84:11, I think it is, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And see, sometimes the pressure can be on, you know, and people come along and make us feel like, well, you know, you haven't been able to get a husband. Or, you know, we're with all couples and we feel kind of, you know, like the fifth thumb or something. And see, we can either let these things bother us or we can say, thank you, Lord, for the way that you have led in my life. I was talking to a young fellow in Minneapolis one time, and he shared how he had gone to his uncle, who was 69, I think he was, and he asked his uncle, he said, well, you've lived your life, you know, and here I am a young man, I'd like for you to give me some advice as to how I should live my life. And the uncle turned to him and said, well, Jim, I've come to the conclusion that I've given myself to the wrong things. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm 69, I don't want to have to say I've given myself to the wrong things. And see, if we follow God and help girls to see they need to obey God, that he does have a perfect plan, then they won't be giving themselves to the wrong things. And we need to help girls get their eyes, you know, on things from an eternal perspective rather than from the world's perspective. And to look at eternity instead of time. Well, now, we do have a few minutes, so let's...